ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम Canton 4, Chapter 29, entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachina Bahi, Verse 41.
Ete upadruto nityam,
Ete upadruto nityam,
Jivaloka sabhava jaihi,
Jivaloka sabhava jaihi,
Nakarodi hare nunam,
Nakarodi hare
जीवलोक स्वभाव न करोति हरेर्नूनम् कथामृत निन्दोरतिम् उपद्रुतो नित्यं जीवलोक स्वभावजैहि न करोति हरेर्नूनम् कथामृतनिधौरतिम् एतेरुपद्रुतो नित्यं जीवलोक स्वभावजैहि न करोति हरेर्नूनम् कथामृतनिधौरतिम्।
Word to word translation. Etaihi, by these,
Ubadrutaha,
disturbed, Nityam, always, Jivalokaha, the conditioned soul in the material world, Sabhavajaihi,
natural,
Nakaroti, does not do, Harehe, of the Supreme Personality of God.
Nunam,
certainly.
Katha,
of the words.
Amrita,
of nectar.
Nidhau,
in the ocean.
Ratim,
attachment.
Attachment.
Translation: because the conditioned soul is always disturbed by the bodily necessities such as hunger and thirst, he has very little time to cultivate attachment to hearing the nectarian words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Unless one is associated with devotees, he cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. Nirjana bhajana, cultivating Krishna consciousness in solitary place, is not possible for the neophyte. For he will be disturbed by bodily necessities, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Being so disturbed, one cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. We therefore see that devotees known as Sahajya, who make everything very easy, do not associate with advanced devotees. Such persons, in the name of devotional activities, are addicted to all kinds of sinful acts, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling and meat eating. There are many so-called devotees passing themselves off as devotees while engaging in these sinful activities. In other words, one who is influenced by sinful activity cannot be accepted as a person in Krishna consciousness. A person addicted to sinful life cannot develop Krishna consciousness, as indicated in this verse.
ॐ ज्ञातिभ्रान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोऽभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछगल्पदरूपेश्च कृपासिद्धुभ्येव च पदितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम निर्माय शेते यदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सोऽलङ्कृषीष्ठ भगवान् वचांसि मे हरे कृष्ण
हियर द कन्वर्सेशन् बिट्वीन् नारद एण्ड् किङ्ग् प्राचीन बर्मि इस् कण्टिन्यूइङ्ग् I think there was a bit of confusion in the text wherein it was mentioned Nidhau in the old Bhagavatam. It is Nidhau, but it is actually Nidhau. Nidhau means in the ocean. So I checked in the Vedabase digital as well as in the word to word also it is correctly written. It is Nidhau. So that's why the text is a little bit wrong there. Anyway. Here, the first point that mentioned in the translation itself is that living entities who are engrossed in bodily activities do not have time to hear about Krishna. This is not unusual. We see that all the time. Also, if we become more identified with our own body or if we get involved in too much of material activities, we ourselves would find no time to hear about Krishna. As it is mentioned here, Kathamrita Nidhau. Kathamrita. Kathamrita means the nectarian ocean of conscience about Krishna. Kathamrita Nidhau. So it is very important that we have some time to hear about Krishna. When I read this verse, the first thing came to my mind was an article written by Srila Prabhupada back in 1956. This article is very compelling and addressing the same issue that anyone would have. No time. So the article he entitled as No Time, A Chronic Disease of Common Man. No time, chronic disease of common man. We can understand this problem is eternal practically because they are in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who are materially engrossed will not have time to hear about Krishna. So the more one is engrossed or identifying with bodily needs, then lesser time one would have to hear about Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada wrote, I took an excerpt from that article. The reason is it was very compelling. He talked about the contemporary scientists and leaders of the society, and he wrote in this way. I will read a bit. Dr. Meghnath Saha, a great scientist. So if you have studied in India, I have studied about Meghnath Saha. I can't remember what he invented or discovered, but you must have studied So Dr. Meghnad Saha, a great scientist, was busily going to a meeting of the planning commission. Unfortunately, while going in his car on the road, he died and could not ask death to wait because he had no time at that moment. Then we go on to the next one. Dr. Ansari, a great Congress leader, while dying in a moving train on his way to home, said that he was himself a medical man and almost all his family members medical people, but now he wanted some medical help, but he couldn't get it. So Prabhupada is bringing the classic incidents of that time to make the point that time is not going away for anyone. So it's an eternal statement as is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Narada Muni is making this point. Look, if you are material angels, then there is no time to hear about Krishna. Here, the whole purport emphasizes on following regulative principles, avoiding sinful activities. It's very important. After hearing many times, because we always say 4x, chant 16 rounds, 4x, after hearing for some time, you think it is very easy. It's not that easy. One, the depth of the regulative principles. Second, we may be accustomed to doing that to some degree for some time. So we may think it is not that easy. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, 7:28, the famous verse, Srila Prabhupada quotes often, Esham tantagatam pavam jananam punya karmanam e dantamoga dharmukta bhajante maam dhidhaprata. So the qualification to come to the platform of determined devotional service is eradication of all sinful activities. By the pious activities, maybe in the previous lifetime, this lifetime, but one has to get rid of all the sinful activities to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. And to that degree, Srila Prabhupada writes the first line in this purport. So the whole verse is talking about strictly following the regulative principle, that's one of the key points. And first line, Prabhupada writes, unless one is associated with devotees, he cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. So we may feel it is easy to practice Krishna consciousness, very easy to practice regulative principles. If we do so, it's only because of association of the devotees. If you take away association of the devotees, then we will see how strong we are. Now we may say, chanting 16 rounds, not a big deal. Following four regulative principles, not a problem. But move away from association of the devotees, then we will see our strength. I remember visiting India many years back, became a devotee and spending time into dham, so it was purificatory, amazing. Then, you know, again with the family, you can see how after the weeks go by, how the enthusiasm reduces. You see, the chanting, what I used to do in the temple room, it's not the same when I am sitting at home with my parents. It's not the same. So we can see that how it is deteriorating. I have seen some boys going to India. So going to India generally is very good because visiting dham, we are very enthused. Yes, that is all good. That's one side. But if you are from India and if you go to India, there are other entanglements as well. It's not just only about dham. There are family relations, many kinds of demands. So I remember many boys going, and one classic case was, he was completely fired up. Oh, Vrindavan, Radha Rani, Vrindavan is everyone tells Radha Rani. He was so engrossed in all this kind of thoughts, and he was just talking about this, yeah, I'm going to India, I'm going to Vrindavan, etc. He went to India. Indeed, he went to Vrindavan, I think. After that, he came back. Of course, he had his family puja, so he spent plenty of time with his family. Then he returned, and after that he never ever picked up my phone call. Never ever. And if you see from a distance, he'll go somewhere. He never came to the temple also. So this is the association, the power of association. One may feel, yeah, I'm very strong, but remove the association, then there is no strength whatsoever. So we need association of the devotees to come to Krishna consciousness, to grow in Krishna consciousness, to attain perfection in Krishna consciousness, and after perfecting Krishna consciousness. So one constant factor in a devotee's life is association of the devotees. So it is cannot be removed, or it cannot be neglected, or it cannot be belittled. Rather, it has to be there always. That's why Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Sarada Sindhu, in the five most potent items of devotional service, Panchanga Bhakti, the first one is association of the devotees. Without association of the devotees, we cannot sustain devotional service. It is so important. And we have our own experience. At the same time, in association of the devotees, what are the dangers? Can anyone tell?
Offenses.
What is offenses? How the offenses actually start? Where it's proud from?
Familiarity.
It's a big problem. Because we are dependent on the association of the devotees. But if we have too much of association, gives familiarity. There's nothing like too much. You know, too much. It's like shower. We need shower is very good. Too much of shower, we'll get cold. Similarly, too much of association with the devotees. What we do? We take it for granted and we can find fault with the devotees. Because initially when we come to Krishna consciousness, all devotees are effulgent. They are shining. They are all pure devotees. You stay with them for 6 months, then the story changes. You see faults. And when we are neophytes, we think, you know, how can devotees have fault in them? Already practicing for 2 years, how can there be fault? So forgetting that, okay, we are also practicing 6 months, but you know, it's an ocean of fault, we can't see that. So we can't see fault in ourselves, and we tend to see fault in others. So one need to grow, mature, to see that, yes, faults will be in the devotees, we are in a hospital, so take it easy, we are trying to recover. So we will find faults in everyone, which is acceptable, that is part of the process. Revelation of the fault in ourselves is part of the process, not in others. So that is our problem, because we are more prone to see fault in others than in ourselves. So as we chant Hare Krishna, when we come to Krishna consciousness, it's fine. After some time we tend to see fault in others, that's the more. But as we grow, we see more fault in ourselves than others. That is healthy. Then we can make progress, because when we see a problem, when we see a mistake, then we can correct. And if you don't see it, it's very difficult. That's why many times when a devotee advances, that devotee is just pinpointing, you know, I have this fault. And it looks like that is his existence. This fault is his existence. It is so much enlarged and emphasized that this fault is just too much for such a devotee. Overpowering. But the reality is that if there is a white cloth and if there is one black spot, that is very visible. So such a devotee who is advanced, very pure, sees maybe he may see one tinge of fault and he or she would overemphasize, oh, such a big fault in me, and want to work on it. So that is healthy. At the same time, we don't get into this paranoia of, you know, this is our fault, I can't do anything, you know, just not just carried away just simply by emotions. Rather, one has to be rational, objective in identifying fault in ourselves and working on it, rather than just being feeling helpless and completely disempowered. That's not the way. Another point in this regard is, in association with the devotees, there will be disagreements. There will be disagreements, and we have to accept there will be disagreements. But disagreements shouldn't distance the devotees, at least in terms of the heart. Rather, it has to develop a deeper relation with the devotees, internally at least, so that we are able to see, yes, there are disagreements, and we have to see why there are disagreements. And if it is in connection to Krishna, we can understand, okay, many devotees want to serve in different ways, that there can be different objectives. And we may have to surrender. Yeah, accept. What you say, accept. But there can be disagreement and there will be disagreements. But understand, it is centered around Krishna. If we see that, then slowly we can mature ourselves. It's not going to happen overnight. As we develop our Krishna consciousness, we see, oh yeah, I had such a big disagreement with such and such devotee. I used to feel so bad seeing his or her face. Happens, you know, sometimes. Oh, I really don't want to see him there. It happens. But as we mature, we can see, yes. Why there was a disagreement? It has to be based on Krishna. Otherwise, please rectify ourselves. It is because of our own, you know, sense gratificatory desires, material desires, then pick ourselves. Rather, we can see ahead and say, but see, Krishna is the center. So it is okay. And try to understand, even in the spiritual world, there are disagreements. So we think, you know, we don't have a utopian idea about this world or the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there are devotees and there are disagreements. Even there are right-wing and left-wing gopis. So one time I was with my family and I was, you know, casually I was speaking something, then I said, yeah, the gopis, you know, about the eternal residence. I told, you know, there are right-wing and the left-wing gopis. Immediately they, what? Right-wing and the left-wing in the spiritual world? How is it possible? Is it mixed with some, you know, the communist or, you know, some other ideas? Is it adulterated? That's why the right thing and the left thing, what's really going on? I said, okay, relax, relax. It's a different topic. You are too new to get introduced to the whole thing. It's a different thing. So, that's the reality. There are disagreements. There are disagreements, but centered around Krishna. It is mentioned, Bhakti Rasam is in this ways. The gopis are whispering into each other's ears. Chit-chatting, gramya katha. What? Because of the disagreement, because of the tension. For what? In serving Krishna. It is giving rasa to Krishna. So our disagreements may not be giving rasa to Krishna. It can have some personal motivation too. Krishna will be there, but some personal motivation too. So we have to be quite careful how we are dealing with it. So the disagreement shouldn't distance devotees, at least in the heart. Where one is thinking, you know, hating another devotee. And then one cannot chant because so much of thinking about negative about other devotees. One has to be very mature. One has to slowly build this maturity, not to distance ourselves from the devotees, even at least externally. In some cases, one may have distance because otherwise it can cause problems. So maturely, one may create an external distance, but internally, one shouldn't wish bad for anyone. Ill wishing, you know, oh, what's going to happen? I can see. He has offended me. I can see tomorrow. Krishna will show him a lesson. He's going to fall down. Yeah, that is extreme. So, this is the thing. You know. Next, if someone offends, okay, we feel offended, it happens in association with the devotee. If we feel offended, next we shouldn't think, you know, some devotee may fall down or do some mistake or may go down in devotion service. See him or her. What happened to him? See, because he offended me. Krishna has punished. So one shouldn't think in this way. That's not the case. We are not so advanced like, who was that? Srivastakur. Srivastakur was offended, right? And then what happened to Chappal Gopal? What happened to him?
Leprosy.
So we shouldn't think in that way. We shouldn't think we are Srivastakur and other is Chappal Gopal and leprosy because of the Lord was not pleased. So we shouldn't create another dimension when we are living here. So we have to accept our position and relax. Understand, okay, there will be mistakes in other side, there will be mistakes in our side. Okay, we have to go together because there is no other choice. If you see the kingdom of Maya, we are only a few people. Please try to understand. In the kingdom of Maya, in this material world, we are only a few people. So we have to understand, okay, we have to move on in devotional service. So Prabhupada is emphasizing this point. Unless one is associated with devotees, he cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. And we can experience more and more. Again, talking about association. The quality of association we had when we were coming to Krishna consciousness. Okay? Then we have some quality of association as we are growing in Krishna consciousness. And there is quality of association when we are perfecting Krishna consciousness, very advanced. And there is quality of association even after perfected stage. Now this quality of association increases as we go day by day, as we go stage by stage in our bhakti. So it is not the same. The quality of association increases. We tend to appreciate devotees more and more. If we are not, after a few years, if we are feeling, oh, devotees are not up to the mark, you know, I am the only devotee. If we feel like that, we have to check ourselves. We are not making progress. There is something wrong in our consciousness. Rather, we have to see, as the years go by, we have to value devotees. You know, we had that discussion based on the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna values his devotees. Udara sarvayati iti. Everyone, even one who is a sakami, who is coming with material desire, he is a magnanimous, because he or she is ready to give affection to Krishna, and Krishna is looking for affection from his devotees. Even though he is Atmarama, he has everything, still he is looking for affection from his devotees. So whoever gives affection to Krishna, Krishna considers them as Udara, because the focus is Krishna. So this is how Krishna sees the devotees. Similarly, on a practical level, we may see a devotee in such and such way, not in our good lens, but see how spiritual master is seeing that devotee. How much affection the spiritual master has that for that devotee. How much Prabhupada is pleased with the devotees. So we have to see in an overall perspective rather than, you know, narrowing down to one point. So this is an art. We need mercy on the devotees to associate with the devotees, to see devotees, to respect devotees. It's very important aspect of Krishna consciousness, and that's why it is the first item of Panchanga Bhakti, association of the devotees. So in essence, the following purport emphasizes on avoiding sinful acts, or who do not avoid sinful acts and act as if very advanced. To do follow our religious principles, we need mercy of the devotees. In Kali Yuga, we need mercy of a guru. Lifelong practice of just follow regulatory principles, meaning to come to human platform which is conducive to practice Krishna consciousness. We need mercy of guru. So this is so important. And next point Srila Prabhupada makes, which is very important, it is about Nirjan Bhajan. Nirjan Bhajan means worshipping the Lord, worshipping the Supreme Lord, and performing sadhana in seclusion, not in the association of the devotees. And here Prabhupada is criticizing the Sahajiya mentality. What is Sahajiya mentality? Sahajiya mentality means take things for granted, take things as cheap, so that even though one is not on a very high platform, but one act externally as an advanced devotee. That is Sahajiya mentality. So Prabhupada is saying they may do Nirjan Bhajan. And after the Nirjan Bhajan, the whole purpose of following the Nirjan Bhajan is to get some cheap adoration and to make a living. To make a living, basically. I'll read one or two verses very pertinent to this by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj from Vaishnava K. Vaishnava K is a powerful book. What is Vaishnava K? Vaishnava K means, what kind of a devotee are you? So please don't ask the question to all the devotees. This is a question to be asked to ourselves. What kind of a devotee are you? Vaishnava K must be thinking, it's a good book. First, we can ask everyone, what kind of devotee are you? No, it's for us. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he was very, very strong. He used to say, look, he used to even criticize himself. You know the pastime, right? Where a devotee, he used to heavily criticize Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And all his disciples and followers used to be very upset with this person. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he tolerated, he didn't say anything. And one day, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was in the ashram and there was a big party going on. Everyone enthused, big party. Ah, this is the greatest time. Everyone is overjoyous, exuberant. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj came, what happened? Is there any festival? What's the occasion? He said, Guru Maharaj, the person who used to criticize you, he passed away. So we are celebrating it. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he became very grave. And he said, no, he is my guru because he is trying to help me by finding fault in me. So don't celebrate, don't be overjoyous like this. So he was actually making the point. And of course, devotees will be offended if somebody is criticizing a pure devotee. Of course, they will be offended. That is a different story. But the essential point is the mood of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. He himself said, look, I am sitting on this big Vyasasan. He had a big Vyasasan. He is sitting on the big Vyasasan. And all of you are sitting and looking at me as if you are going to a zoo. If you are going to a zoo, everyone is sitting, everyone is looking at the cage. There is a lion is there, tiger is there, monkey is there, everyone is looking. Like that, you are all looking at me. But I am only your servant. So that's why he coined this word, Dasosmi. When anyone used to pay obeisances, he used to say, Dasosmi. I am your servant. So even though I am sitting here, I am simply serving you. You know, fixed in that mood. Srila Prabhupada is fixed in that mood. The classic example in Europe, probably in Switzerland, there was a big initiation ceremony and it had media coverage. I think it's an initiation ceremony. There was a media coverage, news reporters were there, and Prabhupada was giving this talk. Prabhupada was giving Brahmanas as the first class, Kshatriyas second class, Vaishyas third class, and Shudras fourth class. And then the question asked by a reporter asked this question. So, do you belong to the first class in that line? You know, so are you the supreme most in that line? In a very challenging fashion. So a devotee who was present, he was giving class and he told, I was hearing from this devotee, so first Prabhupada was taken aback a little bit. Because understanding his consciousness. Then he said, no, with so much of compassion, he said, no, I am fifth class. Because I am serving all these four classes. So this is the mood, you know, Dasosmi. So these spiritual masters, they actually carry that mood. Those who are advanced in devotional service, they carry that mood. It's a very important mood that even if they take a position, still they are serving in the mood of a servant. A servant leader, that is the meaning of servant leader. It's a very important point. And now you can see, even in the management circle, servant leadership has become to the forefront. You know, there are many seminars on servant leadership. That our whole Krishna consciousness is all about servant leadership. Because everybody is meant to be a leader, setting example. So understanding ourselves as a servant, it is not so easy. So in Vaishnava K, I read the first verse translation. My dear mind, what kind of a Vaishnava are you? So he's talking about ourselves. Simply for false prestige and a material reputation, you sit in a solitary place and pretend to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But this is all cheating. Just assuring who is qualified for Nirjant Bhajan. Another interesting thing. My dear rascal mind. This is translated by Japataka Maharaj. It's a very interesting translation and purport. My dear rascal mind, now it is evident why you have been spreading the glories of solitary devotional service. You have been acting against the Vaishnava principles and simply cheating to hide the real facts. You have acted just like a false yogi whose only purpose is to mislead and cheat others. To save yourself from the illusion, you should remember and carefully study the teachings of Sanatana Goswami has so mercifully given us in regard for practicing devotional service properly in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gives the example of that yogi sitting on the bank of Ganges. Very big yogi sitting alone, accepting all the donations, but how he accepts, he doesn't accept. If anyone gives donation, any object he tells, throw in the Ganges. I don't want anything. So people will come, they will go, okay, throw, he wants everything to be thrown in the Ganges. He is teaching us detachment. Probably they would have become detached, those who threw. But there was a net under the Ganges. So whatever goes, he will collect, night he will go, everything and he will collect and he will use it. So night he was a bhogi, daytime he was a yogi. The bogi yogi. So that is bogi yogi. So he was like that. So this is coming from this Vaishnava K. So very, very important to understand. So this is the Sahajiya mentality. Sahajiya mentality means externally one and internally another. So one may not follow the religious principles, but one may act as a big devotee. And in terms of our practice, we can see assuming ourselves in a greater position than what we are. That is Sahajiya mentality for us. We think we are who is more advanced than we are. That is hygiene mentality. That we need to check. Otherwise, we start judging others based on how much respect they are giving to us. He's a nice devotee or a Mataji because giving so much of respect. Must be a nice devotee. So we become respect sensitive. So we make all the decision based on how much respect we are giving. So we have to be very careful. So we have to be very sensitive about where we are standing. What are the anarthas? We have to be sensitive. It's not that we have to plunge into negativity. No, that's not the aim. But objectively being sensitive to our faults and our real position. And if you feel we are proud, there are many things we can do. If you think everyone is listening to me, this is good, that is good, then one thing is one can take a bag of books and go to Sanskrit Street. It's a very simple solution. And we will get smashed very badly. I remember the story Vijay Prabhu told. I really like the story. You might have heard Vijay Prabhu, the book distribution minister. He said, one devotee, he told expert book distributor, he told a sannyasi visiting that I can distribute books to anyone. I can stop anyone and I can give a book. Because he was so expert, he distributed so many books. But the sannyasi told him, okay, now you go for books and let's see. That's what he told. He went and he was trying everything to stop a person. Not even one person stopped. Or of course, no one took even a single book. He spent a few hours and he came back and he told, yes, now I understand what he said. Because Krishna can teach us a lesson. So if you are sincere, Krishna will teach lessons. So that's how it is. Krishna can make all the arrangements to make us humble. So if you are sincere, so that's what we need humility. Otherwise, how are we going to chant? How are we going to preach? This is an important point. That to qualification to chant and qualification to preach are the same qualities. Tanada Visini Chena Karoriva Sakshinana. That is the same quality. That is being humble and tolerant. That is the quality to preach and to chant. It's given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the seventh canto. In Prahlada Maharaja's prayers. This is the quality to preach as well. So it is a very powerful quality that we cultivate. And also, we develop as we progress in bhakti, both ways. Now we will look a little bit into what is the qualification for a real Nirjan Bhajan. Prabhupada is criticizing Nirjan Bhajan here. So in a devotee's life, this solitary practice is needed or not? And what is the qualification for that? So the qualification for Nirjan Bhajan is a lifetime of service and sadhana. That is the qualification. If one goes through that, then yes, one has to go through the stage of solitary sadhana, solitary practice. It's important. Lord himself demonstrated that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He demonstrated that. That is the essence of Antilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He only had two primary associates during his Nirjan Bhajan. Who are they? Suryodhamar Goswami and Ramananda. Only two associates. And Mahaprabhu used to spend whole night chanting, singing verses personally composed, relishing different moods of devotional service. And when Mahaprabhu is going through different ecstasies, Suryodhamar Goswami, Ramananda Roy, they will pacify them. Suryodhamar Goswami was very expert in singing songs according to the right mood of ecstasy to pacify Lord Chaitanya. So in that way, they spent whole day and night. So they were going through all different kinds of ecstatic symptoms, jubilation, hair standing on the end, plunging into pain, which was just like an emotion. So in that way, they were going through the extremities of emotions. And materialists can hardly understand what it is. That's why the material scholars who wrote biographies about Lord Chaitanya, Their conclusion is, Lord Chaitanya became insane. He was a great saint, and during his last phase of his life, he was born insane. Before that, he did a lot of activities. He did travel through India. He preached the devotional cult. He helped so many people. He did that without caring for the caste and the creed and the usual social norms. But towards the end, this is what happened to him. But he was really going through the real ecstasies in seclusion, only with his close associates. So this is demonstrated by Lord Chaitanya himself. I will read a purport about the bhajan and its significance from the same canto just a chapter before. So chapter 28, verse 33, Prasila Prabhupada writes in the purport, when disciples are grown up and are able to preach, the spiritual master should retire and sit down in a solitary place to write and execute Nirjan Bhajan. This means sitting silently in a solitary place and executing devotional service. This Nirjan Bhajan, which is the silent worship of the Supreme Lord, is not possible for a neophyte devotee. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur never advised a neophyte devotee to go to a solitary place to engage in devotional service. Indeed, he has written a song in this connection. Dushta manatum kisera vaishnava pratishthera tare nirjanera ghare tava harinama kevala kaitava. My dear mind, what kind of a devotee are you? Simply for cheap adoration, you sit in a solitary place and pretend to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, but this is all cheating. Thus, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur advocated that every devotee, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, preach the bhakti cult, Krishna consciousness, all over the world. So the essence is, when we have energy, we should preach Krishna consciousness. In that way, we can develop good qualities. In preaching, one can develop good qualities. Sitting idle, just by sadhana, we cannot develop good qualities. Okay, it is part of it, but it is insufficient. It is necessary, but not sufficient. So this is the teaching of Srila Prabhupada. Then I will read this excerpt from Jayapataka Maharaj's book about Srila Prabhupada, how he performed Nirjan Bhajan, because that is the foremost example we have in front of us. So I will read from the writing of Jayapataka Maharaj. In 1977, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, at the age of 82, suffered illness repeatedly and became in a physically weakened state. He decided to discontinue his travelling around the world and take shelter of Vrindavan, the sacred place of Lord Krishna's pastime. He listened and chanted Hare Krishna and meditated on the transcendental pastimes of the Lord throughout the day and night. We know that because Prabhupada himself told, if you read the final pastime of Srila Prabhupada, he was awake throughout, and he was mentioning this animalistic propensities, eating, mating, sleeping and defending, I have given them all. He said first three, eating, mating and defending, I gave up long back. That's what Prabhupada says. But now sleeping, that also I have given up. So this is Prabhupada's Nirjan Bhajan. However, Srila Prabhupada remained in the association of his loving disciples who assisted him during his final pastime by chanting very softly and sweetly the Hare Krishna Mahamantra 24 hours a day. Srila Prabhupada said that this was his Nirjan Bhajan. So this was Srila Prabhupada's Nirjan Bhajan. And his sannyas disciples had to take over the responsibility of traveling and preaching all over the world, as he would not be able to travel anymore. The great spiritual master had taken shelter of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan during the last days of his life. So we can see what is this is the real mode of Nirjan Bhajan. Prabhupada said, okay, I will preach. I will die in the battlefield. That is the mood of many devotees, many acharyas in ISKCON. When Jayapataka Maharaj, he told, probably then a brahmacharya, Prabhupada said, I don't want to retire from the battlefield. Jayapataka Maharaj said, I will also never retire from the battlefield. That's the mood, he's carrying now. Same mood, I will never retire from the battlefield. Always. So very important. And then in that battlefield, when they are reaching the final stage, they are taking this as an opportunity to preach to others, even the final lesson. That's it, the final lesson of Srila Prabhupada. In this regard, I will narrate a final pastime and conclude. It is about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He exemplified this mood of Srila Prabhupada. This is 2005 in May. He was actually entering his Nirjan Bhajan. So during that time, I was still in the university, and every day I was not so serious in terms of going there, go to the university, turn on the computer, and first hear from Bhaktivedanta Maharaj what updates, what is he going through, what classes is he giving, how is his health update. On a daily basis, I was in touch with what was going on. So I was, you know, daily, it was amazing experience hearing from Maharaj, you know, on a daily basis, and what are his experiences, his realization. Because when a devotee is going to leave the world, they have matured in their devotional service, and now whatever they speak is impregnated with a lifetime of realizations. So it is very important. For example, in terms of Bhagavatam, Uddhava Gita is very important, because that is the final teaching of Krishna before departing from this world and speaking to Uddhava. And of course, Maitreya was there by the side. He heard everything and he had his realization. But Uddhava, he spoke to Uddhava because he was a top devotee and he had the top realization. Similarly, here Bhaktivedanta Maharaj was leaving, and he made the point that he doesn't want to fight with cancer anymore. And he has now, as a spiritual warrior, he wanted to leave the world with complete honor and dignity. No fighting, no more defending with this disease, cancer. He had melanoma cancer, and it's an acute stage. And there was no hope. So then he declared, look, he's not going to meet anyone. And I'll read an excerpt again, written by Satyaraj Prabhu, very powerful. Bhaktivedanta Swami spoke with great love and compassion to the devotees as embarked on 60 minutes of honest and open sharing, explaining why this would be his last public appearance. So this was just before he's not going to meet anyone and he's entering his Nirjan Bhajan. The time has now come to enter into Nirjan Bhajan, Maharaj revealed. Sharing his decision to focus on his internal life by engaging in manasseva. Very important. Prabhupada also mentioned this point. Manasseva, service in the mind. His desire now is only to speak, hear and think about Krishna. So during that time, Maharaj only allowed his very confidence in his room, and all other bhajan, all other kirtan would go outside. He can hear, but at the same time he didn't want to meet anyone. And whatever anyone would speak to him, it has to be directly in connection to Krishna and Vrindavan. So this is the mood of a devotee. This is the Nirjan Bhajan. This is the real Nirjan Bhajan. And doesn't want to deal with anything. So this is the real state of Nirjan Bhajan. And he went on to say that his perception of dying on the battlefield was to leave this world like grandfather Bhishma, to preach until his very last breath. In the book written about Srila Prabhupada also, there is this analogy is used, or this example is used, how Srila Prabhupada also left the world like Bhishma Pitama. So here, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj also did the same thing. He is following in the footsteps of the Acharya, the Guru. And unlike others, he indeed expressed his internal mood of worship, which is not common for devotees to reveal, but set an example to encourage others. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj revealed that. As a result of his prayers in the mood of Vasudevadatta, Maharaj has opened himself up to being used as a puppet by Srila Prabhupada, publicly undergoing the death experience in such a way that he can share it with us, leaving his example as a legacy to assist in preparing us for when we too must one day leave the body. So this is setting the example. It's a lifetime of preparation for all of us. That is the whole purpose. Now, coming to the point, one more point. Here, the verse is, Clearly, because the conditioned soul is always disturbed by bodily necessities such as hunger and thirst, he has very little time to cultivate attachment to hearing the nectarian words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kathamrita. Hare Hare Kathamrita. There is no time to hear the nectar about Krishna. At the same time, there is this wonderful bhajan of Parikshit Maharaj. Right? He also had last few days. Nirjan means the whole world was there. It was not anyone. However, he was exclusively with Shivadev Goswami in terms of his conversation. And what does he speak in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam? Because already 9 cantos have been spoken almost 7 days without eating or sleeping. And he reveals his mind to Shivadev Goswami. And it is very important. He says that because of my vow on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Okay. Yet, because I am drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna, which is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which were extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. So this is the real platform of perfection, where on one side, the hunger and thirst is impeding completely one's devotional life, and here on this perfected platform, the hunger and thirst and other bodily demands are not at all touching such an advanced Vaishnava. So it's mentioned that Parikshit Maharaj wanted to encourage Shivadev Goswami, please keep going. Now we are entering the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, so don't cut short anything. Don't think that I am now tired, I have eaten or drank, so I am tired. So, you know, give me a brief summary of Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto. Brief summary of the pastimes of Krishna. No, you go with full force, full on. Elaborate everything as much as possible. And I'm still listening with rapt attention. So this is the mood of a pure Vaishnava. Well, want to hear about Krishna in details, because one can meditate on that, and that is life of a devotee. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Microphone. Anyone has any questions? May come.
Can you talk about the
Okay, maybe we can use the microphone. So everyone's life duration is reducing, right? Udayan astam chayanasau, by the rising and setting of sun. But not for a devotee. Esyato ekshanamita uttama shloka vartaya. One who is hearing the same point, kathamrita, Krishna kathamrita. That is hearing about Krishna. So what does that mean? Yes, for a devotee also, body is deteriorating. It will become a reality as time goes more and more. It becomes apparent. So, body deteriorates according to the time unit for a devotee, and it is a fact. At the same time, for the soul cannot deteriorate. So in other words, soul is unaffected by material time, whereas body is. Now your case, what's your exact question in that regard?
So, the point is that, you know, first of all, that your body is changing, we forgetting that it is destroying.
Yeah.
At the same time, the soul is not affected. If in this case, then there is a illusion in terms of, you know, the time is going down and the soul is there, and then we are practicing bhakti. So in terms of, you know, the body, are we really worried, or, you know, is it any affecting? What we are doing is for the soul. So in terms of, you know, the time is there.
Yeah.
Time is making the body to deteriorate.
Yeah, that's right.
So at the same time, we are devotee, we are trying to remember that this time is not left for us.
Yes, that's right. That is a proper use of time, yes.
So in terms of whatever we spend, it's a benefit for the soul, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Time is useful for Krishna consciousness. Time is useful for Krishna consciousness. So, yeah, because time, material time is an aspect of Maya. It is, material time is subordinate to the Maya, in the sense, material time is acting alongside with Maya, so it is deteriorating the body. But not the soul. Yeah.
Thank you for the lecture. I was trying to think, like, understand about Nirjan Bhajan. Can you say this one, what you said, there's two types of Nirjan Bhajan? One is something like what Bharat Maharaj or Bhakti Mustakur engaged at the end of his life, where there really was no one, and then there's another which was really nice, that the other type of Nirjan Bhajan, from what I gained from the classes, where you are surrounded by people but you don't engage with them in anything material or as far as possible anything at all, and you only have input. So that's also Nirjan Bhajan.
Yes. Yes. So yes, there is Nirjan Bhajan in terms of complete physical seclusion from everyone. Yes, that is one. Second, when it comes to Prabhupada, it was certainly Nirjan Bhajan, in the sense, not in terms of no association with the devotees. Rather, he was not doing any external preaching or any other service other than simply focusing only on Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. With your preaching, you had to focus on other conditions, so state, you had to discriminate, then you had to present Krishna consciousness accordingly. But this is the time, no, it is the sole focus on Krishna and Krishna Bhakti. So that is Nirjan Bhajan. You can.
It's regarding Bhakti Tita Maharaj, because you mentioned about it, you were updated in the second calculus progressively passing. Perhaps if you don't mind, could you please explain that part of Maharaj said dying before dying? What that means, and how can we apply a principle in our progress in this people?
I don't think I can do it now. Sorry.
No?
No, not now at least.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada.